prayed for them. We would have said that's what they get. I ain't got no snake bite. I ain't worried about it. I'm sleeping good at night. That's what we would have said. I'm sleeping good. I ain't worried about that mess. Y'all, that's y'all. Y'all deal with it. You learn. Get you a whole killer snake. Get you some snake away. Pull some sulf out. But I ain't worried about you. That's what we would have done. Am I right? Come on, don't pretend now. Don't pretend. Because I could think of some people right now I would have said, All right. Just try to see if y'all awake out there. Don't go to sleep on me. Come on, tell somebody. Don't go to sleep on the pastor here. He's giving you some good word. Hey, it may not be candy today, but you need this. Amen. It may be some castor oil. You need it today. It's medicine for our soul. It's a reality check. Amen? Amen. From the front to the back, we all get checked on this one. So he says, Moses, we need you to intercede for us, basically.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
For just a little while, I want you to help me if you don't mind. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever the trial, you can make it. Turn to your other neighbor and encourage them. Say, neighbor, whatever the trial, you can make it. Now give God some praise if you believe that. I want to help you to see the simple and serious salutation that James opens up with in the first verse. He starts off this verse by saying, James, he is the penman of this book. And he simply says, James. He doesn't say Rabbi James. He doesn't say Father James. He doesn't say Elder James. He doesn't say Reverend James. He doesn't say Bishop James, nor does he say Archbishop James. He just says James. One of the things that is helpful for us to understand is James wants us to know who he is because of what the Lord God has done in and for his life. And he wants to encourage the believers because he's not caught up on titles as many of us are. James wants us to know who he is, and he is who he is without a title. But he also wants you to know what he is, a servant. Now, this word servant in the Hebrew actually means slave. But it doesn't just mean a common slave, but rather here, this word servant literally means a bond servant or a bond slave. And a bond slave was different from a common slave who had no authority to leave under the control of his master or his owner. He had to stay there and work out his soul salvation, if you will, without release from his owner, except in the year of Jubilee, which was 50 years. But the bond slave had the right every 7 years to say, "Master, I thank you for taking care of me and my family as we served you, but I think I'm going to hit the road now." And there's nothing the master could do because he was a bond servant. But because he was a bond servant, he was a slave that decided that he would serve his master willingly, that he would serve him because he desired to be the servant of that master. And so what would happen in a bondsman situation is the master would take an instrument like an ice pick, and he would put a hole in the bondsman's ear. And when he pierced his ear, he would put an earring in that ear, which would signify that he belonged to the master and that he was willingly servant and subservient to the master. And no matter where he went, anybody, everybody, somebody would know he belonged to someone else. Now, that's why James says a servant. Now, he tells you who he is. He tells you what he is. But then he tells you of whom he's a servant of. He says of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God is not God's name. God is who he is. But his name is Elohim. It's Yahweh. It's Jehovah. And all of the other names that are given to God, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, on and on and on. But God is who he is. But then he moves on to Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's interesting about this is he calls Jesus, as the old folks say, by his whole name. And there is a special reason why he does. Because there were three James in Jesus' time. That was James the Lesser, who was a part of Jesus' group, his disciples. And there was nothing talked about his parents, who he was, where he was from. They just called him James. All right, and then there was James the Greater. He was called James the Less. That was James the Greater. James the Greater lost his head one Easter Sunday morning when Herod cut it off to please those who were against the movement of Jesus Christ. And James, the greater being one, was made an example. But here it is believed to be that this James who pens this book is the half-brother of Jesus. You do realize Jesus had four other half-brothers and sisters. And they were his siblings. But what was interesting was, as long as Jesus was operating in his earthly ministry, his siblings did not follow him. They did not support him. As a matter of fact, they thought he was off his rocker, thought he had lost his marbles, that his elevator didn't go all the way to the top floor, thought the lights were on, but nobody was home. They just didn't believe Jesus was in his right mind. And so one day they went to get him, to take him, because they heard that the Jews were trying to kill him. And the brothers, sisters, and the mother went to him, and he was in a big meeting. And he sent word by the usher to tell Jesus his mother and his brothers want to see him. And Jesus says, "Who is my mother and my brothers? But these who do the will of my Father." And it was then concretely confirmed that Jesus was crazy. And so they never followed him. But what was interesting was, after he died on Calvary, shed his precious blood, was put in a tomb, stayed there 3 days and three nights, and early that Sunday morning, when he rose and began showing himself for 40 days, beginning in the garden with Mary and on, and the 11 disciples and the two men on Damascus and the 500, etc., he showed himself to his half-brother, James. And it was at that moment that James was called and convicted and converted to Christ. And he then became a bond servant, a bond slave to Jesus Christ. So he calls him Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Kyrio, Jesus Jesus, Christ, Christos. Lord was his divine name. Jesus was his human name. And Christ was his holy position. And so he calls Jesus by his whole name. And then he moves on and he gives him the honor, the reverence, and the respect that Jesus so earnestly deserves. He goes on and he says, to the 12 tribes. Now, these 12 tribes were made up of the 12 sons of Jacob. And you remember Jacob, who climbed the ladder, fought with the angel, and said, I won't let you go till you bless me. It was Jacob, when he who was named surplanter, schemer, trickster, and when he truly surrendered to God, God changed his name to Israel. And Israel means God will deliver. And so his 12 sons made up the 12 tribes of Israel. And so he says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, it's interesting because when he says scattered, it was, listen, no mistake that they were scattered. God sometimes allows troubles, persecution, situations to scatter us. 10 of the tribes was in one direction and 2 of the tribes went in another direction. But here's what he knew, that all of them under persecution had suffered and was suffering and was going through. And because he knew they were going through wherever they were, what he did know was wherever they were, they had Christ with them. Here's what I need you to understand. He knew they knew the Christ and they knew the Word. So having being dispersed abroad, it meant
that the word could be sown in all of the different areas and places that they were, because wherever they were, the Spirit of the living God would cause them to talk about Jesus and ask folk, do you know the man? Well, let me tell you all about him. And before you know it, this person would become converted, and then another person. And that's how the spreading of the gospel continued greatly. And notice he uses the word greeting. This word is a happy and joyous salutation. It literally means to rejoice. Greetings, to rejoice. It's like in our common vernacular, you know, one of the brothers from the hood see another brother and he hollers, "What's up? What's happening?" And he's all joyous and excited to see the brother, and they dab him, all of that stuff, because they're happy to see one another. He's greeting them joyfully. I got to tell you something. It's good to have a good greeting when you're going through grief. Somebody ought to hear me here. You don't need another sorry face, another sad person coming in your face when you're down and out, or you're going through, or you're struggling trying to make it. It's good to have a little sunshine in the midst of your storm. So he says, greeting. And it means to rejoice. Now look at what he says. My brethren. He uses the personal pronoun mine for a specific reason. And then he says, brethren. So we tie my brethren together, because this word brethren literally means from the same womb or from the same relation. It means to be connected together, same family. In other words, James says, my brethren, because he's talking about his other half-brothers biologically and the rest of his brothers spiritually in Christ. We are yoked together by Christ. In the Bible, there are five distinct births. One birth is the soil birth. Second birth is the surgical birth. Third birth is the sac birth. Fourth birth is the Savior's birth. And the fifth birth is the saint's birth. Genesis 2 and 7 says, God formed man from the dust of the earth. That's the soil birth. And then after he made man, he then gave man divine anesthesia and put him to sleep and performed the first operation on man. It is suggested that man had 14 ribs, for the Lord took out one to put into Eve. But he surgically removed the rib from Adam, put it in Eve, sewed them both up, and called Eve woman. That's surgical birth. Then Eve and Adam knew one another. Eve conceived and brought forth Cain. And when she brought forth Cain in her stomach, Cain was developed from the embryonic stage to his fullest development before birth in a sac. And so that is called the sac birth. Even if they perform a cesarean section and cut the baby out, they've got to cut the sac. I wish I had a helper in the house. And then fourthly, there is the Savior's birth. When the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and Mary didn't know a man, but the Holy Ghost impregnated her, and then she bore Jesus. That's the Savior's birth. But then Jesus called us by way of the Holy Spirit, called us from darkness into his marvelous light, changed our heart, changed our walk, changed our talk, made us a new creation in him. And that's called the saint's birth. I wish I had a helper in the house. And so no matter what birth you are, he says, my brethren, listen, I'm almost through. Count it all joy. Now, let me just break these words down, because every time I try to rush through it, I've got another word screaming at me saying, say something about me. So count is saying, say something about me. So let me say, the word count comes from an accounting term. It literally means to write a report. It literally means to have a spreadsheet. And on the spreadsheet, you are to write all of the things that happen to you. Every day, he's literally saying, you will fill in on your spreadsheet the goods and the bad, the happies and the sad, the sickness and the health, the friends and the enemies, the good days and the bad days. You get the point, don't you? And then, listen at this, he wants you to do it one day at a time, because God is too wise. Everybody in this house, I don't even know everybody's name in here. Some of you are visiting with us, but here's what I want to tell you that I know. Everyone in here today, God brought them through last year. Now, he was too wise to give you a whole year at one time. So he broke that year down into 12 months. And then he broke those 12 months into a month. And then he broke the month down into weeks. And then he broke the weeks down into days. And then he broke the days down into hours. And then he broke the hours down into minutes. And then he broke the minutes down into seconds. Because some of us go through some stuff that we can barely handle second by second. And if we would learn that he'll walk with us each second of the day, each moment of the day, those moments would turn into minutes. And those minutes will turn into hours. And those hours will turn into days. And those days will turn into weeks. And those weeks will turn into months. And those months will turn into another year. And you can look back and say, my soul. Looks back and wonder. And that's when you pull out your spreadsheet. And like the psalmist, like the songwriter said, your good days outweigh your bad days. And you won't complain. Is there a witness in the house? Now he says, count it. It in the two letters, but it say, don't skip over me. Because it represents everything that happens. Count it, the large and the small, the good and the bad. Everything is included in it. Now notice he goes on to say, listen, because he's not true, count it all. Here is the word all. and all means all. Do you mean, Pastor, that you want me to count the bad stuff that happens to me as joy? You don't know what I go through. You don't know what I've been through. I can't wrap my mind around calling some bad stuff joy. It doesn't make sense to my natural mind. Well, here is the problem which you looking at the individual it. The individual it is not by itself. It has some more its that's connected with it. You don't have one day out of the week and there are no other days. Whatever one day in the week you call, there's another day before it or another day behind it. It's connected to them. That's why all of the days end with day. But here is the point. When you mature, when you become stronger, you stop looking at just the it and start looking at the all. Because the it, listen, is going to be a part of it all. And because it looks bad today, it only looks bad because I'm looking at it by itself. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, then it isn't as bad as it seems. Listen at this. What's the reason? He said, for joy. Count it all joy. Now listen, you can't have joy without Jesus. And if you got Jesus, you truly have joy. Listen, you may not always be happy because happiness comes from happenings. But joy comes from Jesus. Happiness is temporary, but joy is eternal. When he says joy, it is so that we would understand it is because of Jesus and what he's doing on the inside of us that makes the difference. And you've got to understand, my brother and my sister, that all is representative of the work of defining and developing you. See, all is inclusive of what the Lord is doing in you, through you, to you, and for you. If God let the sun shine every day, everything would soon become a desert. But on the other hand, if he let it rain every day, then we'd soon have a flood. But the reason we count it all joy is because he takes sunny days and rainy days and he mixes them all together and produces a beautiful garden. You see, he said, listen at this. When you fall, the word literally means to be encompassed by your crisis.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office